Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Milton Cross speaking to you from the Academy of Music in Philadelphia. More than 2,000 music lovers have gathered here in this historic auditorium tonight for the first stage performance of Giancarlo Menotti's opera, The Old Maid and the Thief. Menotti's opera was composed especially for the radio upon commission from the National Broadcasting Company. It received its world premiere in a concert of the NBC Symphony on April 22, 1939. It was so well received that it was repeated a few weeks later. Since 1939, Giancarlo Menotti has added an overture to his opera and made certain minor changes in the score necessitated by the presence of a visible audience. The first performance of the stage version of The Old Maid and the Thief is being given tonight by the Philadelphia Opera Company as the fifth presentation in its third season. This performance, the National Broadcasting Company, enables the radio audience to share with the audience which has assembled in the Academy of Music. The Old Maid and the Thief is described by its composer as a grotesque opera in 14 scenes. It is an opera of today, and its setting is American. A small, out-of-the-way town somewhere in the United States, perhaps New England, perhaps the Middle West. There are four characters, a middle-aged and respectable maiden lady whose name is Miss Todd, and whose existence is somewhat empty, being without romance. Her maid Letitia, a pretty young thing who, like her mistress, feels the lack of a man in her life. A neighbor, Miss Pinkerton, who has a reputation as the village gossip, and a young tramp by the name of Bob. We won't tell you in elaborate detail before the opera begins what is going to take place. This is unnecessary. For one thing, the opera is not in a foreign tongue, but in English, and many of you have asked to hear opera in English. And for another thing, both libretto and music have been written with the special requirements of a radio audience in mind. The role of Miss Todd is sung by Gabrielle Hunt, Letitia by Frances Gear, Miss Pinkerton by Hilda Morse, and Bob by Robert Gay. The stage director is Hans Vollmuth. The conductor, Sylvan Levin. Mr. Levin is taking his place in front of the orchestra of the Philadelphia Opera Company. In just a moment, we shall hear the opening measures of the overture to Giancarlo Menotti's opera, The Old Maid and the Thief.
Thank you.
It is late afternoon in Miss Todd's parlor. A visitor is just arriving.
A man met my life. I know Call Father.
Won't I soil the carpet?
Oh, Gilmina, you're all wet so much. Don't move them. Don't hold your breath. Oh, you poor fellow. You captured them.
Take off your shoes.
There, take off your socks. There, take off your coat. There, take off your shirt. There, keep off your...
Letitia, run upstairs and fetch that old bathrobe and slippers of my poor Uncle Paul. I hope you're not too cold. Sit by the fire and make yourself at home.
Don't trouble yourself for me.
No trouble at all. The water is boiling in the kettle.
If it is so, I'll have
some. What a beautiful toy song.
The next morning, Letitia is busy with her pots and pans when Miss Todd comes into the kitchen. Before long, Bob's breakfast is ready, and Letitia proudly carries the heaping tray into the guest room where Bob lies drowsily in bed.
Good morning. Hey! Good morning, Bob.
Wake
sitting on the ground. Among mice and lice play merry-go-round. A bed becomes a fight.
Here's your breakfast.
Jimmy Joe, this is paradise. And I eat it in bed.
A food? Just move your leg.
Coffee, a toast, ham, and egg.
And by the way, my mistress is distressed.
And why?
Because you're going away. And she gave me the task to ask if you would stay with us another week.
Stay here another week?
Yes.
To eat and drink and sleep without paying food nor rent?
Yes.
God bless you, that's cheap.
Wait until you can see.
Who's the idiot who would not?
But what of your ideal?
My ideal, to be ideal, must suffer treason. Even ideals listen to reason.
Then it is settled.
With your permission.
But for the neighbors, you'll be cousin Steve. And we believe it shall be wise to shun suspicion that you'll be seen by no one.
It shall be done. But I warn you both before, I'll be a cousin, nothing more. I think women to their core.
Do you mean you'll never marry? Even when they're young and shy and can cook as well as I?
I'll admit you're very, very...
Oh, the stupid bore. Oh, I'm very, very coming. What was it we were saying?
I'll say it another day.
Letitia. I'd like to choke her. Coming.
A few minutes later, Miss Todd ventures out of the house to do some shopping. Down the block, whom does she see approaching but her friend Miss Pinkerton?
Miss Pinkerton, good morning. Have you heard? Have you heard?
What most terrible thing has fled from the house to the kingdom? The town is
Miss Todd can't hurry home quickly enough, for the similarity between Bob's appearance and the description that Miss Pinkerton gave of the escaped criminal has given her plenty of cause for alarm. In through the front door, she flies and into the parlor where Letitia is dusting. Days pass by. Bob remains a guest in Miss Todd's house. A week later, we find Letitia in the kitchen, taking infinite pains in mending a well-worn pair of trousers. Whose trousers? Bob's, of course. A little later in the day, Miss Todd is standing on her front porch when Miss Pinkerton rushes up the steps in breathless excitement. A few days go by. Miss Todd is sitting in her parlor. Letitia is in the kitchen getting ready to go upstairs with the customary morning tray so that Bob can have his breakfast in bed as usual. Meanwhile, we find Bob up in his room. Prompted by a desire to take to the road again, he is secretly making a bundle of his clothes. Thank you.
day long makes me restless and nervous and weak. This is not what I see.
I will never know with you going out for a the weather is bad. The roads are still wet. I want to forget it is cold.
But what about my point of view? Here I have nothing to do. From morning till night, I don't read, I don't write, I don't work, I don't think. If at least I could have...
What?
Well, just something to drink.
My dear. Do you mean liquor?
2 o'clock in the morning. The village is sleeping quietly. In front of the liquor store, all is deserted. But down the block, two stealthy figures are approaching.
Let me try it.
of committing the same sin.
Wrong is it plain
that most people's stomach has more imagination than most people's brain.
Preacher,
my sympathy has variety. That's just part of the orchestration. You hold the basket while I put them in. Let me do it. Careful. Careful, careful.
The next morning, Miss Todd is in her parlor when the door bursts open. Hurry, Miss Todd. Hurry, Letitia. There is no time to lose. Out of the parlor, up the stairs to Bob's room. But they find the door closed.
Knock again. Let us go in. Oh, lying on the floor. Oh, get up.
I can't.
A matter most important. Get up.
I dare not trust my legs.
You must be beneath us.
My body is like a feather. My head is full of lead. How can I?
Please don't you have to gather.
I'll try.
You must be beneath us. Your life is in danger. Your life is in danger.
What? In danger?
Yes, it is.
And why?
Because of the police.
Police? What have I done?
Stop it, my son. Stop it, Linda. We know who you are and whence you come. We know who you are and whence you come. We knew it all along. We knew it all along. We'll help you all we can. We'll help you all we can. Like a man.
Gosh, that gin was strong. Let's discuss it later on.
We have some candy.
You
want some wine? We have
some tomato. Let me get this straight. Did you say you stole?
Yes.
Shame on you.
Well, after all, aren't you yourself a thief?
Who?
You!
I?
Aren't you the man who cruelly killed and robbed and finally escaped from the county jail of Timberville about a week ago?
Heavens, no!
At all.
Ungrateful wretch. After all that I have done for you, you would see me in prison.
As a matter of fact, I don't see any reason for keeping you out of it.
I'll make you go with it. I shall come for you. I shall accuse you of blackmailer and theft. And who believes the tale you will tell? You'll come from nowhere. And your looks are suspicious indeed. But who will dare suspect me of misdeeds? My blood is the bluest in town. I'm respected as much as the mayor. I direct all the social affairs. And I'm constantly in touch with the city. I'm the chairman of every committee over hospitals, operas, and fairs. So beware, my dear darling. So beware. Oh, it would be a great pity if I were to send you to prison and see you condemned to the chair.
I've not.
Miss Todd is infuriated by his seeming ingratitude and hastens to the police to accuse him of crimes. Bob is thus literally forced to assume the role that fate has thrust on him. While Miss Todd is going away to call the police, he ransacks her home and makes his escape, taking with him her car, her valuables, and Letitia into the bargain. Miss Todd returns to find herself doubly cheated, and thus the opera shows how a virtuous woman can make a thief of an honest man. The Old Maid and the Thief was composed 2 years ago upon commission from the National Broadcasting Company. It received its first radio performance in the NBC Symphony Concert of April 22, 1939. Giancarlo Menotti's opera is part of the fifth presentation in this season's series of the Philadelphia Opera Company, given in the venerable auditorium of the Academy of Music. Your announcer is Milton Cross. This is the National Broadcasting Company.